こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語で、バイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、おととい、イギリスの中央銀行がポリマー製の新しい5ポンド紙幣に牛や羊など動物の油が使われていることを認めました。これに対し、ベジタリアン、ビーガン、ヒンズー教徒、シーク教徒、ジャイナ教徒など何百万人のイギリス国民にとって紙幣に重視を使うことは容認できるものではないとして、現時点でおよそ10万件近くの署名が集まっています。紙幣を製造しているイノビア社は、紙幣に使われる動物の油がどのようなルートで入手されているのかについて回答を拒否しています。現在世界で流通しているポリマー製の紙幣200億枚のうち 99% 以上がイノビア社によって製造されており、オーストラリア、カナダ、シンガポールなど24カ国で使用されています。
On Tuesday, the Bank of England acknowledged that the new plastic type 5-pound notes contain cow and sheep tallow. The petition states the following in protest. The new $5 notes or 5-pound notes contain animal fat in the form of tallow. This is unacceptable to millions of vegans and vegetarians, Hindus, Sikhs, and Jains in the UK. We demand that you cease to use animal products in the production of currency that we have to use. The petition has over 100,000 signatures in support. The company manufacturing the new notes, Inovia, has refused to detail the sources of the tallow used in the production process.Of the currently circulating estimated 20 billion plastic notes, over 99% of them are produced by Inovia, and they are being used by countries like Australia, Canada, Singapore, and 21 other countries.
そう、あの、私が見たことあるのだと、ベトナムとかニュージーランドとかもこのプラスチックポリマーの紙幣を使ってて、確かにあの持ちがいいんだよね。こう簡単に破れたりとか、まあ、濡れてしなしなになっちゃったりしないから長持ちするっていうことでこれを使ってるんだけども、この牛とか羊であろうって言われてるだけであって、もしかして豚も入ってるかもしれないとか、なんかそのディテールが よくわかんないんだって、
うん、
まあ、それもあって宗教も絡んできてるっていう、
yeah. This is something that has happened with a lot ofproducts though. Yeah, like even just minor contact with pork residues or something is problematic for
right
certain religious groups. So,
そうだね。あの、イスラム教とかもこう、豚肉がもう触っちゃったらその食べ物は食べれないから、だからこうサラダにちょっとベーコンのかけらをパーッとかけて、そのベーコン、あ、じゃあやっぱ取りましたって言っても、それはもう食べれないんだよね。
Have you seen the pranks that they've done with that stuff? They've like had, it's like turkey bacon.
Ah.
And they had someone eat some, and then they told them that it wasn't turkey bacon, and that it was pork. And then they would react.
Okay.
And then they would be like, I'm just kidding, it's turkey bacon.
That's not funny.
Well, it's funny when you're watching it, but it's not funny if you're them, yeah. Of course. But,
まあ人によるけどね。その多分いつも言ってる私の友達は、あの、知らずに豚骨ラーメンずっと食べていて、まあある日これ豚だよって言われて、みたいな。まあ日本人じゃないから全然気づいてなかったんだけど、とかね。まあでもそれ食べちゃったものはもう彼女は別にしょうがないから。いいやっていう感じだったけど、まああとヴィーガンの人とかはやっぱり動物性のものは絶対に買わない、
yeah.
革製品も買わないし、まあ動物がちょっとでもハームフルなことされてるものは、mm-hmm. あえてちゃんとリサーチして全部避けてるみたいな人にとっては紙幣がってなっちゃうと、そのなんか今までの努力が無になっちゃうというかさ。
The activity of vegans has broadened quite a bitRight? Because it was much more diet oriented before. But now,
倫理的なっていうのが多いよね、今も。
I was watching a Q&A with Elon Musk at Tesla, and someone in the audience was like, I'm a vegan, and the vegan community is kind of disappointed that we don't have a vegan friendly option for the car's interior or something.
And so
these people go to these kinds of meetings and they speak up and they're like, hey, you know, what's the deal with this? And immediately he was like, oh yeah, we'll do that right away.
そうなの。それはでも一番効果的なんだよね。やっぱり会社に電話して聞くとか、あの、そういうふうに社長に直接聞く機会があるんだったら、こう質問することによって。
Well, yeah. I mean, he's an unusually rare example, like how receptive he is to people's opinions.
Right. まあでも企業でもこう、そういう問い合わせが多ければ多いほど、あ、やっぱりそういう需要があるのかって気づいてもらえるっていうのがあるから、海外だと最近、あの、革っぽく見えるカバンとかね。で、全然動物は殺してませんみたいな。ブランドも増えてきてるから。
Yeah, it's tough. There's not that many materials that are truly inconsequential in terms of the environment because you can avoid using animal products. Well, now we're going to use more petroleum products or something instead. And then, well, there's implications for that too. So where do you go from there?
あとなんかやっぱthrift、あの中古って言わないんだ。なんて言うんだっけ？古着？
Mm-hmm.
屋さんとかで革製品をもうずっと取引するだから捨てずにもう売って、で革が欲しいんだったら新しいものを買うんじゃなくてそういうとこから買うとかね、まあ、毛皮もそうだけど、もう取っちゃったものは大事に使えばいいっていうだけだから
Leathers last quite a long time, don't they?
Is
there a bunch of leather just being recycled all the time? Or?
I don't know if they're recycled Well,そうね、あのだから古着屋さんとか行くとすごいいっぱいあるよね。あのパリに行った時も古着屋さんがすごいいっぱいあるんだけど、やっぱり革のものがめちゃくちゃいっぱいあって、すごい古ぼけててもそんなに安くもなってないっていうか。でみんなもやっぱり買うから。
Do you think we're just gonna eventually stop making things out of animals?
だといいよね。と思う。
Are we on course to do that, you think?
どっちかっていうとそうじゃない、やっぱりこういう倫理の話高まってるし先週のゲストで来てくれた袴田さんもさ、その人間の命とか動物の命に関する考えが変わってるからその簡単に人を宇宙船に乗せてあはい爆発しちゃいましたとかもうないって言ってたじゃないだから、昔と比べるとやっぱりなんていうの見方は違うよね。なんかあはいじゃあ犬を宇宙船に乗せて送っちゃえとかやんないじゃん。
What is this understanding that we have of our relationship to animals? Like eventually, because we can see how it's trending, right? We can see that it's trending a certain way. We care more about how animals are treated. We don't want to, you know, use their, I don't know, cows' toes for glue or whatever it is that we're doing so much anymore.So if it's trending this way, then you could sort of assume that the general consensus in, you know, 20, 30 years is that we just shouldn't use animals for our stuff. It's not really our place. It's kind of like a viewpoint on, you know, what is our, where do we belong in this, in the bigger picture of things, you know? Can we just...Because when we had the space programs, it's like, well, we're not trying to send a human. Do you want to go? No. All right. We'll send a dog into space and see what happens. We'll connect electrodes to this mouse's head. We still do tons of research on mice.
そう。でも結局この流れってその精神的なものとか気持ち的な理解だけじゃなくて科学的にも裏付けられてきてるわけじゃん、どんどん。この番組でも取り上げるけど、あ、こういうことしてるのって人間だけだと思ったけど人間だけじゃなかったんだとか、なんか言語を使ってなんとかできるのは人間しかいないとか、今までこうなんか人間が一番すごいみたいな。
I think we still are by
but like,
a lot.
その社会性だったりとかね、が人間特有のものと思ったから。他の動物をこうある意味下に見て、もう自分の便利なように使っていいやと思ったけど、あ、それって実はすごい野蛮なことだったんだみたいなさ。
I think
その気づきは高まってるよね、やっぱり。
In this process of As we learn more and more about animals and what they do, what they're really capable of, if we, you know, in some cases, if you look over the span of thousands, ten thousands of years, they accomplish some unbelievably intelligent things.
Yeah.
So the question in some sense is like, are they as smart as we are, but it takes longer? But taking longer is a trivial matter on a cosmological scale, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of redefines intelligence, like temporally.
あとはこう当たり前と思ってたことが当たり前じゃないっていうか、そのこの間ピーターかどっかが出してたビデオで、新しい牛乳を作りましたって言って街頭で人に牛乳を飲ませるやつ見た？
No.
あの、はい、新しいミルクの製品飲んでみてくださいって言ってみんな飲むわけよ。でなんかいつも飲んでるやつよりちょっと白いなとか、なんかいつも飲んでるより甘いなって言ってて、これは実は犬のミルクですと言うと、みんなが吐き出してうわ気持ち悪いみたいな、なんでこんなん飲ませるのって怒るの、でもいや、なんで牛ならよくて犬ならダメなのかっていう、
Yeah.
なんかその問題提起をしてるビデオだったんだけど、確かにその最近やっぱり牛のミルクって人間が飲むものじゃなくて牛の赤ちゃんが飲むものだよっていうさ議論が増えてきてるじゃん昔より、なんか人間が牛乳飲むべきなのか否かみたいな。
Yeah, I once got, it's weird, I got in some weird conversation with this German hippie guy on the train onceAbout, he was saying that milk is rape because cows are, you know, being sexually violated in the process of obtaining the milk.
そうなの。
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a semantic argument. I mean, we both agree about what is happening. I don't see, there's this, you can.The people who spend the most time around these animals are often the most ruthless and the most pragmatic in the way that they,
yeah.
they think about them, you know?
まあ、そうだね。そうじゃないとやれないからね。
Yeah, but it seems like you spend that much time around these cows, you would eventually be like, oh, they're actually like us, and they're, you know, kind of begin to empathize with them. But that's not, that doesn't seem to be what happens with these farmers.I mean, obviously, there's
a monetary
conflict of interest.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. But, なんかこう、empathy を持って考え出しちゃうと、やっぱりそれはすごく非倫理的には思えるよね。自分も女性だし、じゃあ自分が母乳を常に効率的に一年中出すために、妊娠に次ぐ妊娠みたいな、無理やりさせられて、何年もそうやって暮らす。で最終的には殺されてお肉になっちゃうみたいなさ、その人生。
Yeah. But if you look out anywhere into nature, you would not want to be in any of those situations. It's so ruthless.
まあね、
I've been watching this Planet Earth series. Oh my god, it's so ruthless.
わかるわかる。
It's so ruthless. It's to the point where it's just like, wow, I can't even like.You can't even empathize at some point. It's just like, this is nature.
あの、動物と人っていうよりかも、うちは猫がいるから、うちの猫見ながらも Planet Earth を見ると、その人間とか動物とかじゃなくて、domestic か田舎っていうところなんだよね。いかに私たち全員、うちの猫含め domesticated かっていう、そのギャップがすごすぎるよね、あれ見てると。あの、marine iguana とかさ、
Yeah.
生まれた瞬間から蛇に囲まれていて、
yeah. Millions of snakes.
もう死ぬみたいな、
yeah.
でもそこでもちろん死ぬイグアナもいっぱいいれば生き延びるイグアナもいて、なんで僕の兄弟は食べられちゃったんだろうとか考えてる暇もないみたいな、
mm-hmm. The survival rates are unbelievably low for everyone.
本当そう。
For everyone. And everything is consuming everything else with its face.
でもだからこそこの母乳を作るためにこんなことを牛にしてかわいそうかどうかみたいな話をする余裕があるわけじゃん人間は。でそれってすごくレアなことだからこの自然界の中で、だからその余裕をやっぱり楽しみたいというか追求したい。 ぜひ逆にね。
But it just puts things in such a bizarre perspective. If you really look at everything, try to look at everything at once, it becomes impossible.
どっちもいけると思うんだよ。だからああいうのを見て、あ、なんだ。
Yeah.
どうせみんな死ぬんだし。
Cows, these cows are more comfortable than they could have ever been.
そうそう。と思うのか、私が今言ったみたいにこの余裕を享受して、もっと追求して、せっかくだからって思うかは、本当その人次第だけど。あれ本当すごいよね、でもね。
Yeah, just
なんか今自分がサバイバルの場に置かれずに、こんななんか明日何着ていこうかなとか。
Is it true though? Are we in survival mode? I kind of find it hard to believe that this species has just, oh, we're chilling. We're out of survival mode now. I don't think it really works like that. I think our challenges are, I think it's very tricky for the human race to survive another 100 years. I don't think it will be easy. I think
we're
still... そういう意味では
ね、でもこうなんていうの、じゃ、なんていうの、弱肉強食というかさ、その、もうおちおち寝てられないみたいな状況ではない。少なくとも日本に住んでいればね。
It's not on an individual basis so much. But collectively, our survival is not any more secure than it's ever been. I don't think so.
Right.そういう意味だね。
But as an individual, will you last another 60 years? Probably.
Yeah.
You have a lot better chances than these animals
do. それってすごいやっぱり地球レベルで見てもかなり珍しいことだなって思うよね、あれを見ると。次。ソーシャルニューロサイエンスに掲載されたユタ大学の研究で、宗教的な体験をすると脳内では愛を感じたりドラッグをやったりしている時と同様の反応をしていることが分かりました。実験では19人の敬虔なモルモン教信者に祈る、聖書を読む、宗教的スピーチのビデオを見るなど様々なタスクを与え、感動したり霊的な気分になった時はその都度サインを出すように指示し、その間脳を FMRI でモニターしました。すると被験者がサインを出した時には報酬に関連する部分、集中力に関連する部分、道徳的な考えに関連する部分がそれぞれ脳内で毎回活発化していました。これまでも祈ったり瞑想したりすると脳の報酬系統に変化が見られることが分かっており、チームは今後モルモン教以外の宗教でも研究を進める予定です。
In research by Utah University, published in the journal Social Neuroscience, religious experiences produce responses in the brain analogous to falling in love or doing drugs. In their research, they recruited 19 devout Mormons to pray, read scripture, and watch religious speeches and indicate when they felt strong spiritual feelings while their brain was being monitored by an fMRI machine. When the subjects indicated spiritual feelings, areas of the brain associated with reward,focused attention and moral reasoning consistently showed increased activity. The research reaffirms previous studies showing a connection between praying and meditation and activity in the brain. The team has indicated that they will continue this research on other religious denominations.
そう、なんかあの brain injury の教授がこの結果を見て、あのまあ要はもともと何か信念があって、そこに、まあ、聖書を読んだりなんかビデオを見たりして自分の信念がさらに強固になるわけじゃない。なんか、あ、自分が信じてたものは正しかったんだみたいなバリデーションがもらえる。それによってなんか人間は安心を得て、で報酬がもらったような感じになるんじゃないかみたいなこと言ってたね。面白いよね、宗教って。
Yeah, it's, I mean, there must be. I would be surprised if there were not, if you couldn't detect crazy activity in the brain to go along with the feelings that people are, people aren't making this stuff up. You know, people aren't lying to you when they say that they believe or they know. When they say they know, when someone says that they know something, it's a weird psychological configuration.More than it is like, okay, then it's a fact, you know? When you know something, it's like a feeling, right? You're just telling someone how you feel about the validity of information.
Yeah.
I know, you know?
そう、なんか、 その、まあ、その人それぞれ現実っていうものが違うじゃん。
Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt this? Like you could indicate strong spiritual feelings that should show up on the fMRI?
Yeah. Yeah, 宗教じゃないけど、あの瞑想とかしてて、
mm-hmm.
これちょうどね、次のコラムに私瞑想の話書いたんだけど、そう、あの要はお酒飲んだりドラッグやったり音楽聴いたりとかそういう外的な刺激なしに、なんかそのなんていうの、変なっていうか、あの通常とはちょっと違う精神状態というか、意識と無意識の間みたいなところに瞑想するといけるっていう。
Is that where it is though? Like
that's how I feel.
In between those two states is where you think it is. Because your consciousness fluctuates a lot all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but you're just not aware.
Yeah. To me, it feels like it's like a bridge in between consciousness and unconsciousness. And この間ちょうどね、そう、まあこれコラムに書いたからここで言わなくてもいいんだけど、この間あの
言ってよ
この間土曜日に座禅またやってきたの、
うん、
鎌倉で朝7時に起きてさ、9時から始まるから、
うん、
でやっぱりあの自分の考えてることとか精神状態によって瞑想にすぐ入れるか入れないかってすごい左右されるじゃん、当たり前なんだけど、
うん、
でなんか最初全然入れなくて、もう本当に苦痛だったのねもう痛いし足も、
うん、
なんかもう入れないな、なんか全然集中できてないなって思えば思うほどダメになっていくみたいな、
うん、
それが結構1時間ぐらい続いて、もう帰りたいみたいな、うん、すごい辛かったんだけど、途中からあの急にできて、ああよかったみたいな、でなんか周りのシーンとしてるし、目も閉じてるし、周りの動きとかにも敏感になっちゃうじゃん、五感が、うん、でなんか1時間経ったぐらいで周りの人がなんかちょっと疲れ出したの、
うん、
こうちょっと動き足を動かしたりとか、ちょっと体重かける場所変えたり、ため息ついたりとか、うん、とかね、
yeah.
それを急にその波がやってきて、それを感じちゃって、さらにあ、みんな疲れてるって思ったら余計、
Sometimes you have this hyper awareness of your environment、
うん、
right when you kind of transition out of like an internally focused meditation、
yeah.
like I remember once I was in this, it was like after this yoga class, and there was like this 20 minute meditation afterwards、
mm.
and it was, I forget where it was, but it was in the city and the windows were open、and so there were all these weird noises、
yeah.
and all of a sudden I was just hearing like the building's electricity is just like and then there's just a dog outside like wow, and there's cars and there's like there's so many things, and with your eyes closed you start to see all of it,
so so だね
all everything that makes this tiny sound, you know that, you know, it's probably not someone with a speaker that has dog noises, right? There's probably a real dog
Yeah.
and a real everything else, and babies and couples arguing or whatever it is, all this stuff will just flow in.
Yeah.
And it's weird to let your brain assemble that.
だからやっぱ自分の部屋でやるのが一番入り込みやすいな、結局とは思った。自分がまだそこまで上手くないから、逆に。
I think lying down in an unusual place.Works very well. Not planking, but like, like if you lie down on your floor instead of on your sofa or on your bed, you just lie on the floor. You don't see your room from the floor, and so immediately everything looks different.
Right.
Instantaneously, everything looks different.
そうだね。
And for some reason that like assists with kind of getting your mind in this different state.
For me, just doing it on my bed works the best, like facing the window with a curtain closed.
Who is this character? One, the most interesting thing to me about this study, or this, just this concept of people's brains doing this. I mean, I think we can safely say that human brains do this, right?
Mm.
Almost most of the human beings on Earth, more than 90%, are actually in this state where they pray, they read some text or something, and it triggers these parts of the brain. Mm. There's a lot of focus, including among atheists, on whether or not God is real. God doesn't exist. There's no evidence for God. None, you know, back and forth, back and forth. And it's ridiculous because something is happening. There's something happening. It's like UFOs. Everyone was so focused on whether or not UFOs are happening. But the real phenomenon that you should be looking at is the phenomenon of people obsessing over UFOs.
Right.
And the same thing is true for religion. Mm. From the perspective of epistemology, what is God? You know, what is God as a phenomenon? Not trying to say that it's a person or it's, but what is this thing that's happened? What is this phenomenon that's happening to all these humans' brains? And let's try to explain the phenomenon regardless of whether or not God actually exists, because that's not what we're interested in, right. I think. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like the UFO phenomenon.
Mm.
It's the same kind of thing.
I don't really want to comment on an individual thing, but there was a singer who recently got arrested with meth.
Hmm.
A very famous guy, and he was writing a blog, and he's insisting that people have been watching him. People have been tapping his phone, and like this really like paranoia type of thing. But and he's saying that like no one believes him, but it's true, and he has like collected 6 years worth of evidence, da da da.
Okay.
And now like this, a lot of people on TV obviously would say like, oh, it's, this is because of meth. Mm-hmm. A lot of people on the internet are saying like, oh, maybe he has like schizophrenia or something. And they even found like some evidence that all the things that he was talking about was basically like how he misunderstood certain things. Like, he thought that it was about him, but it wasn't.
Thought what was about him?
Like, he was looking at some thread, online thread, and thought that they were talking about him.
Mm.
And these people were watching him and stuff.
Mm.
But it turned out this thread was about some game, video game. And there was, like, a famous player that had the same name as this guy and, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, no one knows what actually happened. But I read his... で、なんかその彼の長いブログがあるわけよ。で、そこで彼はその真実を説明しますと言って、その監視されてた話とかをバーって書いてるのね。で、それを読んで、まあ、なんかこう、ジャッジするのは簡単なんだけど、彼にとってはそれがリアリティなわけじゃん。で、一人でそれとずっと戦ってるみたいな。で、そのためにメスを使ってたって言ってるわけよ。彼はその起きてないといけないから、それと戦うために寝てる場合じゃないじゃん。
Okay.
で、それをまあ言い訳だっていう人もいるしね。まあそれで本当のことは分かんないんだけど、あの、benefit of the doubt として、本当に別に嘘つくつもりはないとすると、彼にとってはそれが現実なわけで、そんなに辛いことってないじゃん。誰にも信じてもらえないけど、自分はもういろんななんか集団とかに追いかけられていて。
This is what happened to Kanye West recently. It's exactly what happened to him. Because he came out and he said all this like pro-Trump stuff, and he said everyone is living in their own like
yeah.
echo chambers, and he gave this huge speech, like a 30, 40 minute speech in front of all these people.
Right.
And he's, everyone that's surrounding him, I mean, he's Kanye West, are extremely liberal, left-leaning people who are, and they told him, Kanye West, you lost your mind. You're crazy. And he didn't think he was crazy. Mm, and he said he would just say what he should, what he thinks.
Yeah.
But even if you're not crazy, if you have enough people saying that you're crazy, you are at some point, you don't trust yourself anymore.
Yeah.
And when you don't trust yourself anymore, they broke you and now you're crazy.
Right.
Because if you don't trust yourself, by definition, you're crazy. Right?
Right.
And so now he's in rehab. But from the, you can just objectively kind of look at this and understand, like, okay, he had a certain perception of reality. The group had a different perception of reality. And so when those two things converged, and that, that, I mean, it becomes a numbers thing.
そう。で、なんかこう、流れが見えるというかね、それを読んでる、まあ彼は時系列に書いてるから、あ、もともとなんかこう、それが薬なのか病気なのか分かんないけど、こうパラノイア的なものを発生させてしまう何かがあって、それに現実のことがリンクすることがいくつかあって、もともと持ってた何かをさらにレインフォースしてしまう、
mm-hmm.
あ、自分は正しかったんだって思うことが実際何個か起きたみたいな、
mm-hmm.
そうするとそれがもさらに強固なものに なって自分ではもうそれが 150% 現実なんだけど、right. 誰にも信じてもらえなくて一人で戦う羽目になっちゃうみたいな、でそれをなんか、まあ、ちゃんとサポートしてくれてた人がいたのかいなかったのか分かんないんだけど、 It made me scared likeThis could happen to anyone.
Don't be alarmed, but I think that nobody is really talking about this, but I think large portions of the population are going to experience this kind of psychological break with reality simply because of the environment that we're all inhabiting now with social media, the internet,and people are saying to question everything, and you should. But when farmers question things, when someone living, not to generalize farmers, but if you don't have the intellectual tools to navigate these conflicting versions of reality, then you will be stranded either in between them or flip a coin. And you will be, you know, a prisoner of people who are more intelligent than you are.
そう、なんか怖いのはやっぱりこういう風になろうって本人で思って選択して決めてこうなったわけじゃなくて、こう脳の報酬系統なりいろんなものが勝手に作動してダーッとこういう風になっちゃうわけじゃん。ってなると誰もそのことに対してコントロールできる保証がないというか、I don't know. I read the whole thing and it almost made me go crazy.
Well, yeah, well, you have to understand that these ideas, these memes are active, evolving, highly contagious viruses. These ideas behave like viruses. And your immune system is basically how intellectually stolid you are. And so when your consciousness comes into contact with an extremely potent virus, a virulent meme, it is basically up to your mind and its intellectual immune system to discredit and expunge this notion that's ridiculous.
Mm.
And so it becomes an intelligence test. And now with the establishment of the internet and the rate at which these memes are being distributed through social media and whatnot, I mean, this is why there are probably more flat earthers today than there have ever been. Tila Tequila is not only a flat earther, but now she's also a white supremacist.
I know.
Clinking glasses with the Nazis or something.
I know.
But this is happening to enormous numbers of people right now.
Yeah.
And it's not being discussed as a phenomenon. I think more people are going to experience psychosis and kind of weird psychological problems simply because of the potency of the ideas that they're exposed to and the lack of the intellectual defenses that we need to protect ourselves and be able to parse reality, you know? How do you know what's true or not? Well, we just talked about 90% of the population being religious. Well, keep in mind that all of these religious people have ideologies that they cling to so strongly, yet those ideologies conflict with almost everybody else on the planet's ideology. These ideologies aren't in agreement. And only one of these ideologies, the upper limit, is one of them being true. There's no way that more than one of them is true. So we already know for a fact that almost the entire human population is under the influence of some inherently delusional ideology. That's reality. That's where we're starting at. So,
yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's our reality.
Yeah, but even...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But even if you were religious and you had a bunch of people that believe the same thing you believe, still it's a vastly the minority on this planet, right? Because most people aren't in your religion.
Yeah. But for them, it's right or wrong. So.
Yeah, but still, it takes some... Wouldn't it take some courage to place a bet like that? To bet everything on something that has, you know, it becomes dependent on your ego, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what we think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
because we're not religious.
Everything I say is just what I think.
That's why, like, it's complicated.
Yeah.
次、ヘラジカやクジャク、カブトムシなど生き物の中にはオスが大きな角やカラフルな羽を持つものがいます。これらの飾りはメスを引きつけるには役立ちますが、敵に見つかりやすかったり、引っかかって身動きが取れなくなったまま死んだりと、生存に不便なことも多く、なぜそこまでするのか、ダーウィンも頭を悩ませていました。今回、ノースウェスタン大学工学科の研究チームは、飾りを持つ生き物のオスは、メスをめぐる競争と自然淘汰という2つの試練を受けて、大きな飾りを持つオスのグループとそうでないオスのグループで別々の亜種に分かれると予測する数理モデルを作成しました。15種類の生き物のデータを分析すると、実際に飾りが大きいオスと小さいオスに大きく分かれており、飾りの大きさが中間のオスはほとんどいないことが分かりました。
Among animals like the moose, peacock, and rhinoceros beetle, the males exhibit large horns or colorful feathers.While these features aid in attracting females, it makes them easy to spot for predators and can inhibit movement so much as to result in death. Why evolution would encourage features so inconvenient was a mystery for Darwin himself. According to a mathematical model developed by a research team at Northwestern University, male animals that develop decorations are divided between males with large ornaments and males with very subdued ornaments as a result of a combination of mating competition and natural selection. This was reaffirmed through an analysis of 15 different species, which found them to be highly differentiated between males with large ornaments and males with small ornaments, with very few in between.
そう、つまり飾りが大きいオスしかいなかったらいないで、その大きいことが特にメリットにもならない。だけども飾りが小さいオスがいてくれるからこそ、わあ飾りが大きくて不便なのにそれをも凌駕して強く生きてるこのイケメンみたいな感じでメスに魅力的に見える、だからどちらもお互いにとってはメリットがあるっていうか、
There's some pretty wild examples of thisHave you seen this, I forget what it's called, but it's like a, some jungle bird that's, I don't think it's technically a hummingbird, although it does get nectar from flowers, but it has evolved to have a beak that is way, way longer.
Ah, Planet Earth に出てきたやつでしょ?
Yeah, do you remember what that thing is called?
No. でもあのくちばしが体に対してあんまりにも長いんだよね。まあ細いけど、あまりにも長いから自分の体を描いたりできないんだよね。
Yeah.
くちばしで。
And that was kind of interesting. It was like, to get any longer than, there was a certain point where it's like, all right, if this beak gets any longer than this, any longer than this, we can't prune our feathers anymore.
Yeah.
But nature weighed that out and decided, you know what? If we make it longer, we can reach this particular kind of flower.
Yeah.
We won't be able to prune. But the trade-off is there for that. That niche will work.
なんか結局足で描いてんだもんね、だから。
Yeah.
足で描けるからいっかみたいなことだよね。
Do you think its legs aren't normal though, yeah?
I don't know.
Because its leg was, its tiny bird leg was going all the way up to like its face.
Yeah.
Right? Normal birds don't do that.
だからこれは人間だとどうなのかっていう質問に対しては、結局、まあ、大きい家とか車とかお金がかかるもの、
hmm.
だお金っていうコストがかかるけれどもそれを持ってることによって、
hmm.
異性を引きつけるっていうのが、mm-hmm. まあナチュラルな考え方かねって言ってた、まあ、
Right, so it's beyond functional
見た目だとあんまりねこう例えばイケメンだとその分早く死ぬみたいなことって別に人間はないから、あのそこのトレードオフっていうのはないと思うんだけど、mm. あとなんかね背が高くてマッチョでイケメンだとなんかすぐどっかに引っかかっちゃうみたいなさ。
You know, don't species. I think this is how it works, but we have some natural variation in our DNA, and there's small mutations that, as part of the system, naturally occur.
Yeah.
To produce this variation in different human traits or traits in other animals.
Mm.
And so it's kind of just looking for something that it's like taking a little step in multiple directions. And if one works, then it'll just keep going from there.
Mm.
And it'll just branch off. And pretty soon you have this enormous horn on your head.
Yeah.
Now some of these antlers are like, I mean...They're saying that these animals will get stuck and die、
うん、
because their antler is that ridiculous.
だってなんかこの記事に書いてたのは論文に書いてたのはそのヘラジカとかってこう角同士だからオス同士で戦ってる時になんか引っかかったままその二人が離れなくなっちゃってそのまま死ぬみたいなこともあるみた
いな is that possible?
Like in during the fight,
but if they get tangled, can't they untangle it just by reversing? Or I guess there's some springiness in the horns,
so maybe when
they collide, they like spring.
A puzzle みたいな感じでガッチリハマっちゃうともう離れないとか。
Are they able to survive that way, or it's
probably not? ネズミもあるもんね。なんかなんとか現象みたいなさ。いっぱいのネズミが尻尾でなんか絡まって、mm. あの一匹も取れなくなっちゃってそのまま塊で死んでるみたいなさ。
It's weird to think that the same dynamics are not only shaping physical attributes but behavioral attributes is the same dynamics, right? From an evolutionary standpoint. And it's not just ornaments either.It seems like any feature can be dramatically exaggerated. Like the way giraffes are. Giraffes were just like, we're going to have the longest neck, period. No one is going to get even close in terms of neck length.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And once the giraffe's neck was a certain length, it was just like, we can just keep...making it longer, right? Just look at a giraffe. Just look at a giraffe and look at that friggin' neck. It just...
キリンはさ、そのメイリングの時にその首の長さがクライテリアになるのかな？なんか首が長い方がモテるみたいな。
I'm sure. Because the longer neck giraffe, it can reach more food.
Yeah.
Having a super long neck...isn't a problem for getting lower food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. あのカブトムシ、何クワガタとかもさ、なんか種類によってはすごいのいるもんね、
うん、
このクワのとこが体に対してめっちゃ長いみたいな、
うん、
そしてやっぱり確かに不便そうだけど。
ジラフス。
次。
According to a new report by Amnesty International, the products of many popular brands like Dove Cosmetics, Kellogg's, Unilever and Nestle and many others can be traced back to a palm oil company called Wilmar, which employs child labor in Indonesia. The workers are as young as 8 years old and are exposed to toxic pesticides, in addition to having to carry sacks of palm fruit weighing as much as 25 kilograms. Senior Amnesty investigator Magna Abraham stated the following in a video they released with the report. These findings will shock any consumer who thinks they are making ethical choices in the supermarket when they buy products that claim to use sustainable palm oil. Wilmar is based in Singapore and runs some of the largest palm oil plantations with fields in Indonesia, Malaysia, Ghana, Uganda, and West Africa, with 69% of the plantation land in Indonesia. Currently, the plantations occupy around 2,410 square kilometers of land overall, much of it once thriving rainforest. Animals like the orangutan, Sumatran rhino, and Sumatran tiger are currently endangered, having lost most of their habitat. There has been a 40% decline in lowland rainforests and a 600% increase in palm oil plantations in Indonesia since 1990.
アムネスティインターナショナルの報告書によると、ダブ、ケロッグ、ユニリーバ、ネスレなど複数の大手企業がインドネシアで子どもに労働をさせているウィルマー社と取引していることが分かりました。ウィルマー社はパーム油を生産している会社で、有害な殺虫剤を使用し、一度に25キロもの荷物を運ばせるなど劣悪な環境の中で子どもたちを働かせており、一番小さい子どもは8歳だということです。調査を行ったメグナ・アブラムさんは公式ビデオの中で、倫理的判断をしようと認証済みのパーム油が入った製品をわざわざ選んで買っている消費者にとってこの事実はショッキングでしょうと述べています。ウィルマー社は本社をシンガポールに置くパーム油の大手で、インドネシア、マレーシア、ガーナ、ウガンダ、西アフリカで生産を行っていますが、全体の 69% をインドネシアで生産しています。現在2410キロ平方メートルの土地を所有しており、それはほぼすべて貴重な熱帯雨林を伐採したものです。オランウータン、スマトラサイ、スマトラトラなど現在絶滅に瀕している動物たちが住んでたんだけど、まあ、それがなくなっちゃった、1990年代から低地の熱帯雨林は 40% が失われており、それと引き換えにインドネシアではパーム油の畑が 600% 増加しました。これ私今パーム油熱だからすごいタイムリーな話題なんだけど、この人のあの認証済みのパーム油が入った製品をわざわざ選んで買っている消費者にとってショッキングでしょうっていうのは、日本に住んでると多分ちょっと馴染みがあんまりないと思うんだけど、
うん、
パーム油って環境にも体にも悪いっていうのはもう証明されているんだよね。ただ未だにたくさんの加工食品に入っていて、海外だとその食品表示、多分あの買ったものの裏に書いてるところにパーム油が入ってるか入ってないかを書いてある、
うん、
で、あ、これはパーム油が入ってるんだってなった時に、その認証されてるパーム油と認証されてないのがあって、されてるっていうことは一応サステナブルな感じに育ててますみたいななんだよね。だから、まあ、環境問題を気にしてる人はそれをわざわざ買ってたんだけれども、このウィルマー社のは認証を受けてたにもかかわらずこういうことになってると。
One thing that's interesting about the labeling aspect of palm oil is the consumption of palm oil. The boom initially, in some ways, is connected to a labeling change that occurred in the United States, because people were trying to avoid consuming saturated fat.
Right.
And so palm oil was kind of a loophole to as a substitute ingredient that would allow you to reduce the indicated amount of saturated fat.
で、それ日本も今まさにそうで、トランス脂肪酸が話題になって、あ、トランス脂肪酸は良くないですねってなったから、企業も、あ、このうちの商品は低トランス脂肪酸です。あんまり入ってないですよっていうために、パーマ油を混ぜて使っていることが多い。で、日本の問題は、そのパーマ油が入ってるか入ってないかを消費者には分からないっていうことなんだよね。だからパーマ油は環境にも体にも悪いから、じゃあパーマ油が入ってるものを買わなきゃいいんだ、食べなきゃいいんだって消費者がいくら思ったとしても、日本の法律だと植物油脂って書けばいいことになっていて、それがオリーブ油なのか、オリーブオイルなのか、ココナッツ油なのか、パームオイルなのか、それは書く義務がない。だから消費者にとっては避けられない。それはやっぱりすごく問題だと思う。
But there's a to a certain extent, it's difficult even if you were to make that decision, it's difficult to say, you know, are there products that are made with something that's actually a suitable alternative to this? One of the major problems with palm oil is just the sheer amount of it. The levels of consumption, because it's all being extracted from Indonesia and Malaysia, the world's supply. And because palm oil specifically requires the kind of climate that exists in those places where these rainforests are.
で、日本もその輸入してる油の中で、食用油の中で2位がパーム油なんだよね。それで日本人平均して年間に4キロはパーム油を食べてる、知らない間にと言われていて、だから、でこの間リオナルド・ディカプリオが作ったドキュメンタリーでももちろんパーム油の話は出てきて、あの日清が名指しで批判されてたけど、カップラーメンとかに入ってるから、あの、まあ日本だとやっぱりこういうね、ケロ、ユニリーバ、ネスレとかさ、あの大手でもういろんなメディアスポンサーしてるから、なかなかメディアもこの話をしない。ただこのだ、使ってるのを急にやめろっていうよりかは、私はだから表示をちゃんとしてほしいんだよね。でそれで消費者が選択していけばいいことだと思うから、まずはね。
Right. Well, in terms of a result, what we want to happen is that
まずこの子供の child labor を今すぐやばいよね、ちょっと。
Yeah, I mean
今この時代に、
Yeah, the circumstances surrounding that child labor thing I'm not quite sure of, but yeah, we don't want 8-year-olds collecting palm oil for
yeah,
rich
no.
developed nations
yeah,
no. People. But we also really should protect these natural resources or these natural ecosystems. One of the most shocking things I've seen in terms of environmental destruction is when I went to Malaysia and got on the train to the central market from the airport. And to get to the central market from the airport, you get on this sort of bullet train type thing, and it just flies through, not literally flies, but you're just going through for like an hour straight of palm oil fields. It's all as far as your eye can see. You look out the window, kind of bored. 20 minutes later, you look out the window, same thing. There's still palm oil trees, you know, and I think they are the Wilmar palm oil. They plant these trees like 9 meters apart. They're perfectly spaced, and they've clear cut enormous amounts of land to do this.
結局その日本は遠く離れているし、日本人はみんなパーム油のことを多分何全然知らない、悪気がなくさ、もともと入ってるから食べ物に知らないで食べてるんだけど、だからもう日本人全員が知らずにこれに加担しちゃってるっていうこと、でその加担しちゃってるのは 消費者のせいっていうよりもただ単に法律がそうなってるから表示がされてないっていう、だから消費者に選択の余地がないっていうこと。これは本当ならばもう今すぐ法律を変えてほしいんだけど、ちょうどね2020年に向けて食品表示法が変わるんだよね。それで今からこう基準を今政府が考えているところなんだけど、
うん、
今のところ私今議事録とか全部読んだんだけど、油について誰も何も言ってない。
Nobody knows
anything. そう、まず問題意識を持ってる人が中にいないっぽいんだよね。だからなんか誰かこれ聞いてる人で政治家の人とか消費者委員会に入ってる人とか誰でもいいんだけど連絡ください。ちょっとねこれ本当に私今どうにかしないといけないなと思って。
Well, I think firstly awareness is essential.
そう、あのもちろん政府の中に問題意識がない場合はやっぱりメディアとか世論が声を上げないとまずは政府が動かないんだけれども、たださっき言ったみたいにスポンサーの問題があるから大きいメディアがこうね積極的に声を上げていく事案だとは思えないってなると、やっぱりネットとか民間でなんかしていかなくちゃいけなくて、ちょっとねこれは、
うん、all this landthat's being used for this stuff, it's being taken in what are called these land grabs, where basically these ecosystems, these forests, even though there's indigenous people there, and there's people that use these, there's populations living in these places.
Yeah.
The government, without informing anyone, decides to take this land andallow it to be developed for palm oil use.
Mm.
And then the people living there usually only find out about it once these companies are already there chopping everything down. Mm. And so that's been a pretty flagrant human rights issue, I think. Just the way that these governments themselves have been operating.
Right, right.
And, you know, there's an issue of, you know, state sovereignty. There's not really anything you can tell that government.
結局そのファストファッションとかの問題と似ていて、その現地の政府はまあ思いっきりコラプトしている。Mm-hmm. でもちろん外国企業からのお金が欲しいから何でも許可しちゃう。でそれを外から変えることはちょっと難しいから、やっぱりこっちの需要の部分で、mm-hmm. こういう先進国って自分たちで言うんであれば、こっち側からどうにかしないと多分変わらないんだよね。だからさっきイーロン・マスクにヴィーガンのオプションについて聞いた人みたいに、普通の人でも例えば自分の子供に何食べさせてるのか気になる人っていっぱいいると思うから、普通にこういう加工食品を作ってるとかお菓子作ってる会社に電話して、パーム油使ってますかとか、どういうところから買ってるんですかとか聞く人が例えばいっぱい増えたとしたら、それはそれでやっぱり企業は、あ、これは普通に社会問題として認識されてるからどうにかしなくちゃいけないなとかね、いう意識も上がるかもしれないとか、だから民間でできることも多分いっぱいあると思うからね。
One thing that I think can happen somewhat organically is right now we're so materialistic and such a consumerist society that brands are sort of looked at in terms of status. Mm. But that same thing, brands, can be looked at by society in moral terms. And I think that's beginning to happen. It's starting to happen. And while the moral judgment of brands certainly hasn't superseded the status perspective on brands, I think it's shifting. And once we have a clearer picture of brands in terms of how morally correct they are, then that'll be a really fundamental change that will then culturally start to take care of a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
Like just innately. So, yeah, I don't know how you actually do that, but I think it's happening.
Yeah.
Tiki. A team of chemical engineers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have discovered that when water is contained in extremely small spaces, it can freeze solid despite being at temperatures that would typically cause boiling. The structures used by the scientists are about a nanometer across, only large enough for a few water molecules. While the water is definitely in a solid state, the researchers are reluctant to call it ice because ice implies a certain crystalline structure that may not be present here. The findings were published in the journal Nature Nanotechnology.
MIT の科学エンジニアチームが水は極度に小さい空間に閉じ込めた状態であれば、本来沸騰するほどの高い温度の中でも凍った状態になることが可能であると発見しました。極度に小さい空間とはナノメートルレベルで水分子がいくつか入る程度の大きさです。確実に凍った状態にはなるものの、チームはこれを氷と呼ぶことには抵抗を感じています。氷は通常結晶体であるという認識ですが、これは結晶体ではないためです。この結果は学会誌 Nature Nanotechnology に掲載されています。
Yep.
結晶体になるためにはもっと大きくないといけないってこと？その分子が足りないってこと？それとも寒くないと、実際寒くなった状態で凍らないと結晶体にはならないってこと？温度の問題。
We just don't know whether or not there's a crystalline structure present. Ice has to be, ice is a crystal. If it's not a crystal, it's not ice.
Yeah.
Just because it's possible that it's in a solid state without being in a crystalline
right
structure. I don't think that they can actually see what the structure of it is, but given that this thing is only like 1.4 nanometers across and water molecules are 2.75 angstroms across.
Okay.
Then you could only fit maybe 3 or 4 water molecules side by side. Is that enough space for there to be a crystalline structure? We don't
know. これちっちゃいスペースに水の分子を入れて、
mm-hmm.
すごい熱くしても固まったまんまっていうこと。
Yeah, they took it up to 105 degrees Celsius, and it remained in ice-like form.
Wait, so they freeze it first, and then see if it stays that way, or you just put it in a normal state, and then it just gets solid?
They're not sure exactly what's going on. They're surprised by a lot of these results. They predicted that the freezing temperature would actually lower, but then when it was in there, they found that the freezing temperature had actually gone up. And so they heated it.
Huh.
They heated it until to see where the freezing point had gone up to.
Right.
And they got it up to 105 degrees Celsius and it was still like ice. Huh. So basically,
謎だね。
Yeah, well, water is already very weird, and
yeah.
we don't really understand why it behaves the way that it behaves. It has so many different phases and theoretical phases, phases that we have not actually witnessed, but in terms of physics, we assume exist.
Hmm.
And I forget how many phases there are, but it's like a dozen. And this, I think, would technically be considered yet another phase, maybe. I don't know. It depends what the scientists decide, but we've already known that in small spaces that the freezing and boiling points of water are changed in nanotubes, but I don't think they've ever put water molecules in nanotubes that are this small. And they found that very small differences in the diameter of the nanotube would significantly influence the boiling and freezing temperatures of water.
それはなんでかは分かんないってことだよね、まだ。
No, we don't know.
Right.
We just know what it's doing, sort of.
不思議すぎるね。何が違うんだろうね。
Isn't it crazy? Like, just the one water molecule, just a water molecule is filled with all of these weird behaviors that don't quite make sense to us. At the same time that we have particle accelerators, at the same time that we're building rockets and all these things, the most abundant thing that what we drink and we swim in, the oceans, water, we don't really know how it works. We figured out ice skating.
Yeah.
But most fluids don't really behave like that. Or most things, when they're colder, become denser, right?
Yeah.
So you make something colder, it becomes denser. They shrink, contract.
Right.
So if you heat up, the idea is, you know, it's just movement in the particles, right?
Mm.
Energy is. And so when you heat things up, it tends to take up more space.
Right.
And that's kind of true with water, except when you cool it down, it gets denser and denser and denser. And all of a sudden, when it was supposed to keep getting denser, it gets less dense. It goes back the other way, and then all of a sudden it solidifies into this crystalline structure, and this structure comes from nowhere. There was no structure in the water, but you cool it, and then it assembles into a crystal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 謎が多いね。
So, I mean, really, you could almost say that the true state of water is ice. Ice is its true state. Because ice is how it behaves in the absence of energy. You don't get water unless you add energy to this thing. But we think water, it's water and it freezes, right? But
it's
actually ice.
そっか。氷が本来の姿かもしれないってことだよね。
Yeah, I think so. I think that makes sense, right?
Wow.
So they have this idea of what to do with this stuff. One of the authors of the paper said that you can make water wires. So you can actually make a tube that sends protons. And for some reason, water can be used to conduct protons 10 times better than any other material.
Okay.
Don't ask me what we're sending protons for. but you could have this tube that's just like a nanometer across that contains just water.
Yeah.
And it would remain in this ice-like state. And you could send protons down this thing. So they're not sure what to do with it exactly.
ちっちゃければもう普通に人間が生活している温度内だったら関係ないってことだもんね。もうずっと同じ solid state ってこと。
It would remain
すごい安定してるってこと。
Yeah, you could have a wire that has water in it that would remain in a solid state at room temperature. You would have ice in your room at room temperature. Well, ice-ish.
Solid water.
Solid water.
In a cable.
In a cable.And it
for
would,
whatever reason.
For sending protons.
Wow. Yeah, it was... Yeah, 面白いね。このなってなんかヘッドライン見た時に、え、今更水みたいなさ、感じあるじゃん、ちょっと。
Yeah.
なんかそんな分かってなかったことがまだあったんだ、みたいな。
This nanotube, nanostructure stuff is really weird. And, Anyone in materials science is probably pretty stoked about the stuff that's been going on. 'Cause when you discover completely new behaviors for something as fundamental as water, it's like you have a new way of controlling it, you know?
Right.
I don't know what these engineers and stuff are going to do with this, but...
次も MIT なんだよね、そして。
Mm. And angstroms. I mean, we're measuring these things in these angstroms. You know, the size of this stuff
yeah.
is just so tiny. 次。Researchers at MIT have developed a deep learning AI that, given a still image, can generate a predictive video showing what it thinks will happen next. For example, given an image of a beach, the AI generated movement of the waves and people walking. An image of a man on a horse was animated so that it is trotting, and given the image of a train station, the AI animated the train, moving it across the scene. The artificial intelligence has studied over 2 million videos in order to be able to visually predict the next 2 seconds of activity in any scene. However, this was accomplished by using adversarial learning. In other words, 2 separate neural networks compete with each other to accelerate learning. In this case, one network learned to produce fake videos from the original 2 million, and the other network learned to discriminate fake videos from real videos.
MIT のチームが写真を見るだけで、その後何が起きるかを予測した動画を作成するディープラーニング人工知能を開発しました。例えば、この人工知能にビーチの写真を見せると、波の動きやビーチにいる人々が歩く様子を動画で作り出します。馬に乗った男性の写真では、その後馬が走っている様子や、駅の写真では、その後電車が走って通過する様子を作り出しました。この人工知能は200万個の映像を見て学ぶことで、特定の情景の2秒後に何が起きるかを視覚的に予測できるようになりました。より早く学ぶために、一つのネットワークがもともと存在する200万個の映像を使って偽の動画を作り、もう一つのネットワークが偽の動画と本物を見分けるという敵対的学習の手法が使われました。
Mm-hmm.
人間みたいだよね、だから。
Yeah, well, the way that it's...
Learning.
Learning, I guess, yeah.
なんか、いっぱいの事例を見てきたからこそ、
mm-hmm.
新しいものを見たときに次何が起きるか予測できるっていう。
Mm-hmm.
あ、左から右に向かって歩いてるっぽい人がいるからビーチで、まあ、このまま歩いていくんだろうなとか。
Yeah, and this is a step further from being able to tell the difference between the person and the beach.
Or, そうだね、確かに。
Or what a beach is. Or,
yeah.
So, yeah, it's just they had it watch millions, you know, these 2 million videos of things happening.
Right.
That things happening, things happening, things happening, things happening. And it processes this stuff, and eventually you can form what they call a causal structure. In other words, if you have a certain scene, this is something that human beings could do. You know, if I showed you a picture of someone that looks like they're walking and they're on a beach, and you had to animate it, you could probably show them taking a few steps and then, you know, the beach... the water moving on the beach.
Mm.
But when you can kind of generalize it like this and get so many examples in there over and over, I mean, this could have implications for a person walking in front of your car and predicting very specific things about the range of possible behaviors or the range of possible outcomes for a given setting,
right.
you know.
Right.
So this person isn't going to get out of the way in time, because in 2 million videos, no one has ever moved that fast.
Right, right, right.
You know, for example.
うん。そうだね。だから今ドライブレコーダーとかついてるからね、車に。
Mm-hmm.
それを大量に集めて人工知能に見せるみたいなことだよね。
Mm-hmm.
で、自動運転の時に使うとか。
Mm-hmm. Right now, we have all this data. We have all these, you know, police reports and whatnot.Of the way that traffic accidents have happened, but there's not really there's no entity that can go in there and kind of give us a full generalized conclusion or even parameters in terms of like what tends to happen in certain situations when you get in a car accident.
Mm.
Maybe we have some statistics like T-bone accidents happen this often, or like general things like that.
Yeah.
But an AI can do that to just the finest, the smallest increments of data and quantify it.
Yeah.
It's like a baby, this thing.
そうだね。
It's a baby.
赤ちゃん。
Because you have a baby and then it has eyes. Yeah. And it has ears. And this baby doesn't walk or do anything at first, right? You just, the baby looks around and it's just taking in information, visual information. And each moment it's taking in a single image. The baby is, right? Every moment it takes in a still image and then it sees this image changing and eventually it learns the same things to distinguish a person from the background and and whatnot.
Yep. Artificial intelligence 2016.
Yeah. And it's crazy how quickly this happened.
Yeah.
Because 2 million videos is nothing compared to a 5-year-old child, for example, or millions of years of evolution.
I think we talked about a similar research about human behavior. なんかさ、ハイタッチとかキスするとかを予測するみたいなあったよね。
Yeah, there was something.
あれいつだったか忘れちゃったけど。
Was it AI predicting high fives?
Yeah. High five とキスとハグとかなんかそんな感じだった気がする。
一
対一の人間で次何するかっていうのを、あれはシットコムも見たのかな、確か。
Mm.
なんか何千時間じゃないけど、
yeah.
めちゃくちゃ見させられて。
Yeah, I think this study is a bit more practical.
そうだね。しかもこれはだって動画で作り出すわけだもんね。
Yeah. Did you see the videos that it produces? They're really weird. You know how images that are made by these neural networks?
Yeah, あれ怖いよね。
Like, they creep you out. It's like, it's...
なんか気持ち悪いよね。
惜しい。I don't know what it is. They're always like, it's warping.
なんか変なとこに変なものがあるんだよね。ここに花があるみたいな。
Yeah, well, it shows like the guys, it's like this couple is walking on the beach, but for some reason their legs are like glitching, so it's like their legs are like going to the side. You know, it's like the リングとか、
はいはいはいはい、
like 呪音、it goes like static and then it teleports or something, right?
でもどっちが怖いのかだよね。そのグリッチがあるとビジュアル的には怖いけど、あ、でも AI だなってわかるじゃん。それが本物みたいにさ、本当の CG みたいにさ、すごいスムーズだったらそれはそれで怖いよね。うわ、全部合ってるみたいな。
But there's something about the glitchy videos that gives me like goosebumps. Because it's like, you know, it's like the movie Frankenstein, or I mean the book. When Frankenstein is starting to come alive, sort of, and his body's like twitching a little bit, and there's like sparks flying, and there's this crazy scientist like, ah, ha, ha, right? you're seeing that in the way that these images that the AI is producing is like kind of close, like it's right, but it's kind of off. There's something weird about it. It's like the jerky movements of Frankenstein is like not quite a human, but it's waking up, you know, it'll get better. And that's the thing that creeps me out, is that this will get better and it will get better very quickly.
Yeah.
And not just at this, but at all of these different things. It's inevitable. It's promised almost, you know, that this stuff is going to be real. You can see the jerky glitching legs on that image is just the circuits inside this AI's mind just not quite firing up crisp.
それ見てみよう。それ人工知能自分的にはどういう出来はどうだと思ってんだろうね。 Yeah, like あ、まだまだなんか本当のやつとはちょっと違うなって分かってんのか、あ、結構よくできたんじゃねみたいに自分で思ってんのか。
Well, I think at this point it's as if you created a piece of a human brain, you know? It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's a more than like a whole brain.
Yeah.
But because we already have the internet and because an AI would be able to sort of integrate these things into itself, I think fairly easily.
Mm.
It's just right now the scientist is taking Frankenstein's limbs and torso and other things and they're kind of building this thing.
Yeah.
A thing is being built right now, right? Like all these different MIT and OpenAI and all these companies, Microsoft and IBM, and they're all building this weird thing, right?
Yeah. They're all building this weird thing.
But it, yes. It's, yeah, that's the AI thing. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
We say AI, but we don't actually know what it's going to be. So
yeah.
So it is, it's a thing.
It's going to be Westworld.
Yeah. Westworld will be nothing compared to AI, I think.
Well, they do what this one does. Like, they can kind of see what's going on. They know what's going to happen like, next.
I think Westworld's idea of artificial intelligence is incredibly pedestrian compared to, like, what people who actually know about AI think is going to happen.
Well, I mean, it's a theme park.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it has to cater to the theme park.
Yeah, think about how trivial the Westworld theme park actually is compared to the planet that Westworld is on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. まあ、それを言い始めるとさ、別にあの、バーチャルリアリティでいいじゃんっていう話もあるんだけどね、別に。あれ、
It's both.
あんなフィジカルにする必要あるかみたいなさ。
Well,
pretty soon,
they'll just have AI build the VR because it's the most efficient way to do it. And then we're really just living in their world.
Yeah.
And if that's not the Matrix, I don't know what is, right?
Yeah. All right. もう12月なんだよね。今日。知ってた？
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
もう年末に近づいてきましたけど。
Yep.
Yep.
It's.
So the.
It's a wrap.
App update はまだですかね。
Yeah, it's taking.
Okay.
Longer. We had to resubmit it. For approval. So.
文字起こしのテキストを Mac と iPhone と Android のアプリで購入できますので、試してみてください。最初の1話目から3話目は無料で月額240円で読み放題プランもあります。ぜひ、
yep.
このお得プラン、スポンサーつけずにやっていますのでぜひサポートお願いします。あとツイッター、インスタグラム、フェイスブックもやってますのでフォローお願いします。質問はツイッターでしていただけると返しやすいです。
yep.
あとはマイケルが作った渾身の力作LINE スタンプ LINE スタンプ猫星人スタンプも好評発売中ですので、うん、ぜひお願いします。終わりですか？
You know, I went to Cambodia.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
I showed you that picture of them. I guess we don't know what it is, but like the glowing
Oh, yeah.
thing.
Clam?
I don't think it's a clam.
Okay.
But yeah, Cambodia was super cool. Yeah, that I was walking on the beach in Sihanoukville and found that glowing animal.
Yeah, you should post that on Instagram.
Yeah, the glowing thing.
Yeah, なんか謎のね。
Well,
発光物みたいな。
I thought it was glowing the bioluminescent plankton. Yeah. But I looked at pictures of plankton And it looks really different, so I don't know what it is. But and there was only one on the entire beach. Isn't that weird? There's only one. After I found it, I was like, oh, this must be plankton. There must be tons of these on this beach. And I looked.
ずっと光ってんの?点滅とかじゃなくてずっと光ってんの?
And it was really, it was really bright.
Yeah,
Cambodia is a crazy, crazy country. The air pollution in Phnom Penh was unbelievable.
Right.
Because they all ride the Genski.
Yeah.
And everyone's on the tuk-tuk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mask してる, みんな?
No. Actually, the air quality is worse than it is in Vietnam, where I was, and where I went before in Da Nang. But somehow nobody wears masks. Everyone in Vietnam wears masks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they wear long sleeve because they don't want sun exposure. But in Cambodia, no one wears long sleeves and nobody wears masks. I think it's probably poorer than Vietnam.
Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, there are wealthy people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's
just a huge gap between.
Yeah, there's so many investment opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Somebody should sell.
I even looked at it once. Like, they were selling, and it's really cheap, you know, for us. なんか六本木ヒルズ的なやつとかを建ててるわけよ。なんかショッピングセンターとこのタワーマンションととか。For basically for expats, and rich people there. Yeah, and they were selling like stores, spaces for shopping malls and some like rooms and whatever. And I looked into it to see like if it makes sense for me to invest.
Invest in Cambodia?
Yeah.
The one thing that they need to change in Cambodia is just the air pollution in Phnom Penh has to be the number one. I mean, it's not even within like 2 minutes, your throat is burning and your eyes are burning.
Oh,
like
God.
It's right away. It's really intense.
なんかカンボジアが投資先として魅力な理由の一つっていうのに、その若者がめちゃくちゃ多いんだよね。なんか日本の真逆みたいな。だから国民の半分ぐらいが、忘れちゃった、これ嘘かもしれないけど、国民の半分ぐらいが二十歳以下みたいなレベル。
Maybe. There's a lot of...
そう、若者が多いからこれから伸びがすごいだろうみたいなことは言われてる。
There's a lot of kids working too.And if you're just walking around, kids will try to sell you like bird feed or like little bits of food or like a pineapple. There'll just be a dude walking around with a pineapple.
Okay.
And then they'll try to sell you this one pineapple.
Okay.
I don't know. It's such a crazy place.
I bet.
Yeah, the bus ride from the... Sihanoukville beach into back to Phnom Penh was like 9 hours.
What?
Yeah, and
それ乗ったの?
I was riding on like the most local bus. It just, there's no bus stops. People just like bang on the side of the bus and then get in. So there's just like all kinds of people on this bus. And the way people drive in Cambodia is just insane.
Why would you ever want to do a 9 hour bus drive?
That's just what it is. That's how long it takes.
Okay. So you wanted to go like wherever you were going, like desperately?
Yeah, so I was in Phnom Penh, and then I wanted to go to the coast, which is Sihanoukville.
Okay.
And the bus, it depends when you leave, but during rush hour, the congestion, just because they don't have any sort of infrastructure planning.
Yeah.
It's the traffic just gets really, really insane.
9時間 辛い 無理
So the bus I was on, like, they're like broken windows and they just tape it, and like my seat wasn't even attached. to, my seat cushion wasn't attached to the seat.
Oh.
So I was like falling asleep and I would fall asleep and like slouch and then my seat cushion would come off the seat and I'd like get like startled. Yeah. Yeah. It's such a different world.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about, it just really contextualizes where you are from or the society yeah. that you consider yourself a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're just, I don't know, it's to just get on an airplane and then Tokyo again.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-blowing too.
I bet.
Like both ways.
Yeah, I was telling you how like I'm not going to Cambodia because like I feel like it's going to change me forever and I'm going to start selling shit like and start building schools there and whatever. Like, I'm going to throw away my iPhone.
I did think like, oh my God, like if these people just had, if someone could figure out a really affordable and reliable electric scooter.
Yeah.
Like Genski and just sell those in places like Cambodia, because almost all the pollution is from these little scooters that everyone rides.
Right.
And those scooters break down and need to be replaced all the time. They're selling tons of these scooters.
Yeah.
But just if someone went in there and just started selling the Denki bike,
yeah.
Just figured out a way to just scaled manufacturing or whatever it is to get this in there, I mean, the change would be dramatic because the way these scooters have, I just can't explain how bad the air pollution is there. Like it's,
well, go pitch it to Kawasaki or something.
Well,
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk should just build a scooter.
Yeah, you should go talk to someone about that. Mm. Just pitch it.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that they figured out why it is that astronauts are going blind?
They're going blind?
Yeah, like astronauts, if they stay in space, they lose their eyesight pretty quickly. Not blind, but like they can't focus their eyes.
Okay.
And they found out that their cerebrospinal fluid that is when you're in zero gravity, the spinal fluid isn't dealt with by your like lymph system or something.
Okay.
And so it builds up behind your eyeballs and squishes your eyes. And so all the astronauts, their eyes have been getting squished by the buildup of cerebrospinal fluid. And supposedly the effects are, they seem to be permanent.
え? その溜まった液を取れないの?
No, because your eyes have already been squished.
え、squishされちゃったらもう、一回されたらもうダメってこと? そう、irreversibleってこと? それが。 So, can't you like
unsquish? It seems to me like that would happen, but I think I read that that it's permanent.
え?
But I'm not sure.
じゃあ行きたくないじゃん。
But yeah, this is interesting because they couldn't figure out why it is that people's vision was going bad in space.
Yeah.
And they thought that it was actually like your brain fluid, like from around your brain that was causing it or something.
Huh.
But now they're saying it's like spinal fluid.
Okay.
And that the spinal fluid is, so I don't know how they're going to.
Wait, spinal fluid as in the one that's here? Like 骨髄ってこと?
I think it's the same fluid.
Huh.
But yeah, it's like building up behind people's eyeballs and squishing them.
なんかさ、そもそもいっぱいイシューがあるじゃん。なんか宇宙に長期で滞在すると効果がこうなるとかさ、豆が悪くなる、何が悪くなるとかさ、それより先に火星、何それが解決されるより先にさ、火星に行けるようになったとしてさ。
It's a huge debate right now. A lot of people are saying that the radiation is too serious. There's no way we could go to Mars or live there. And Elon Musk is saying, like, it can't be that serious. We've had people in orbit for enormous amounts of time. And yeah, the radiation is stronger as you get further or closer to Mars. But He thinks there'd be a way to block it with the water supply by orientating the spaceship a certain way and stuff like that. But nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Because we haven't really sent any human beings further than the moon, right?
So I mean, I don't want my eyes to be squished.
Well, you don't even have to go to Mars. You can, if just by being in the International Space Station, people's eyes are getting squished.
Yeah, so...
and I mean, but you get taller. That's the upside. So you would get taller. You could maybe add an inch and a half or something if you were up there for a year. Your eyes would get squished.
I'm totally okay with not getting taller. Like, I don't want my eyes to get squished. Thank you. Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Because Elon has been somewhat dismissive of these concerns. And I don't know if it's just because he knows better than people who are freaking out do. But
I don't want to doubt Elon Musk. I just read about Justin Trudeau. Like,
do you have some Trudeau
approving,
doubts now?
Approving pipelines, and now they're not going to meet the Paris thing. So people are so mad, and there's so many articles saying like the honeymoon phase is over. Like, goodbye, Trudeau. You know, it's like, I don't want to. No, please. Yeah. So
wait, so is Trudeau not?
He approved Jesus? Like there were three pipelines that were waiting for his approval, and he rejected one, but he passed two, to which a lot of people are now saying that because of this, there's no way that they can meet their Paris goals. So now they're saying like, oh, so this shows that he doesn't give a fuck about the Paris thing. I don't know if that's true, but then he did approve the pipelines. So
The pipeline thing,
I think it is something that the former prime minister started.
Yeah.
And it was like pending because obviously he left and Trudeau came in. But
can you believe how much resistance there has been to this North Dakota Access Pipeline?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't think, has there ever been an environmental protest this big or global before for any single issue? I don't think there has.
Yeah.
This might be the craziest one so far.
Yeah. But
no, I'm sure Elon's right. Just assume.
All right.
Alrighty. Done. 以上です.
Done. Bye.
Bye.